This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum says, how to rectify a dhulm done on others if they don't know and you are embarrassed to tell them or you cannot contact them anymore? Very good question. If I might ask the brothers in the back, if you guys are going to have any conversation, that you move outside. Jazakumullah khair. So how to rectify dhulm? If you know that you've wronged somebody, they don't know that you did. Maybe you spoke ill about them in some gatherings. Maybe you caused them with some statement you did say about them. You caused them financial loss here and there, whatever. Or maybe you stole from their property. How can you rectify the situation? Now, you look at the circumstances. If the person is receptive, that you come remorseful and you tell them that, you know what, look, this happened because of me, I want to apologize to you, I want to give you back what I owe you, and you know that they're not going to cause any damage, then alhamdulillah, you should do that. But if you think that going openly towards them, they're going to cause more damage, then in this case, try to rectify this without them knowing. So if you spoke ill about them in private gatherings, go to these people that you know, that you remember, as many as you can. You go and let them know, like, the other day I spoke about this brother, this sister, I want to apologize, I want to say astaghfirullah, that was wrong, and fix it there. If there was financial loss because of you, that you caused them, and you still have the money, you can give it to them in one way or another. Private gift, something, you know, they don't know how it came to them, whatever that is. Send it through a third party who can deliver that without knowing it. But just, you need to make sure that try your best to reconcile in this dunya before the akhirah. So, would you get rewarded if you marry a second wife and fear Allah? Is it a dunya option that's neutral, or is it praiseworthy, such as marrying your first wife? Well, look, I mean, it comes of a ta'addud. It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Depends on how you want to define sunnah over here. Does it mean sunnah that you need to follow? Or sunnah means that's a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not for everybody. Not everybody can really afford second wife, or third wife, or fourth wife. If you don't have the money for it, if you don't have the energy for it, if you don't have the steel nerves, I would say, to be able to manage households like this, then don't do it. Some people, unfortunately, just fantasize about this matter. It's a fantasy for them, and they just want to take risks and do that. Look, I personally believe it's a solution for a real problem. As we see in the society these days, subhanAllah, there are a lot of sisters who are unmarried, single moms, many, many issues, unfortunately, that some, even sisters, they come and they say, look, I lost hope in being an only wife. And they are willing, for example, to be a second wife, because they know that the reality is otherwise. So yeah, if someone has all the right circumstances and they're willing to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make things right, then let them do it if they want to do that. However, the consequences of all of that is on you. If you're not in good terms with your wife, with your first wife, or you're unable to manage these households and so forth, then you better, as Allah says, قَالْ فَوَاحِدًا, then be pleased and be satisfied with one. That's enough for you. Now, who decides when the relationship has become dysfunctional? Well, it depends on the huquq. We talked about rights and obligations. If the wife is not fulfilling her husband's right, and the husband is not fulfilling his wife's rights, now this becomes dangerous. And if it continues like this, it becomes toxic, and then it becomes dysfunctional. Like no one is seeing any rahmah. There is no rahmah, there is no mercy, there is no sakina, and in endangering our akhirah as well too, because you're being zalim to each other. You have dhulm, injustice against each other. So who decides if that's dysfunctional or not? I mean, if you're unable to tell that your relationship is dysfunctional, then go and ask therapists, counselors. Let them know. Maybe you think that the relationship should run like that. Like, subhanAllah, I remember many, many years back, a sister came to me asking about her relationship situation in marriage. To my surprise, she had no clue that the situation, the relationship was toxic relationship and was actually dysfunctional, because she never knew any better. She lived under these circumstances for so long, but then she started hearing from other people that this is haram, what he's doing, this is wrong, this is not acceptable, and then she came asking about this. I'm just like, wow, yeah, I mean, this is wrong, this is haram, this is not acceptable. And subhanAllah, some people, they just have no idea, wallahi, masakin yani. How about discipline the husband? Now, like especially if the husband, he made poor financial situation and circumstances caused the lady financial loss. So I do have to keep track of every financial move and so on. Wallahi, may Allah make it easy for her. I mean, if that situation, if the husband is completely irresponsible, then definition of the Sharia, a financial irresponsibility, obviously, or immaturity, that's the definition of safih, which means foolish person. And the foolish person in the rules of Shara, you have to have interdiction on them. They have no, they are not allowed to have access to financial yani assets. Instead, you have to assign somebody, a guardian, to make sure that the finance is actually being spent properly for the household's benefits. That's it. So if you can find something like this, alhamdulillah. But if he's not, and he's not yani, doing right, the right thing about it, it's haram, it's dhulm, injustice, and therefore it needs to be rectified. However, this question particularly is a claim. Because when you claim that someone is mismanaging, is doing this, is doing that, that's a claim that requires what? Hearing from the other side. So you'd know exactly if they corroborate to their statement, then yeah, then we go into saying this is right, this is wrong. But like I said, if he is not responsible at all, like he is just wasting the money right and left, then in this case, there has to be some sort of way of control that wealth and that money. So what if, in regard to the subject of nishuz, the rebellious, basically, in the relationship, what if the husband thinks that she is rebellious, and he does the process of nishuz, but the matter is actually that he doesn't understand how to build a successful marriage, and understand how women work, or how to deal with them, and they misunderstand the situation. That is true, that's a possibility, that, you know, every man thinks that because the wife says no for something, he thinks this is actually justified for him to go with the discipline in the relationship. No, you need to first of all educate yourself about what is right and what is wrong. And there is nothing wrong of going and learn and ask. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, go and ask those who know. So if it's a matter of marriage, guys, go and ask those who have the experience, whether you're elders, if you want to go with the culture and tradition, or if it's a matter of religious matter, ask, for example, the knowledgeable person. And if it's a matter of etiquette and a matter of, you know, understanding relationship, then just go to ask to the expert, to the therapist. Just you need to learn so you can, inshallah, do the right thing with Allah Azza wa Jal. And again, we said that in shoes is in regard to the rights and obligations. And these are very clear in the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is it okay or allowed to be mad at your husband? Not to the extent of turning away from him in bed, but just being angry with him. Does the woman have the right to do so within reasonable means? Of course. Even the wives of the Prophet ﷺ used to be upset with him. According to Hadith al-Ila, the long Hadith in Sahih Bukhari about the Ila, when the Prophet ﷺ boycotted his wives. Why? Because they used to give him the cold shoulder and the silent treatment for the whole day. Ibn Umar bin Khattab he freaked out when he heard that. He went to his daughter Hafsa. He said, "Is that true? You don't talk with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like this? Like you punish him like that?" She goes, "Yeah, sometimes we stay silent until the night. And he told her, he said, "My dear daughter, don't do this. You're not like Aisha. Like Aisha can do it and get away with it, but you can't. Be careful what you wish for." And that led to the Ila story, which is when the Prophet said, "You know what? I'm done with this." Like he was fed up. And he said, I'm out. For a whole month, he stayed away from them, salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. So with reasonable means, it's okay. However, my recommendation is to understand that when it comes to the subject of anger is not a problem in itself. It's an indicator that there is a problem happening, and that's just an expression of it. So try to dig deep into what is the real cause of this, and try to talk about and solve it, instead of just being angry all day with each other. Okay, so there's some sensitive questions over here. I'm going to have to bypass this right now, maybe. So is staying from intimacy during menses means the actual intercourse or all kind of intimacy. Well, what is prohibited is the actual intercourse. But anything else, like for example, hugging and kissing and being, you know, together in bed, like the hadith Umm Salama radiallahu anha, which is basically covering only from the waist to the knees, that's fine. There is nothing wrong with that. That's the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, people need to be careful. So if they get too excited, it might actually violate the rules and commit the haram. Naam. So somebody's asking about if someone wants to marry a second wife who is financially independent, is that permissible? That she doesn't need anything, for example, in the, from that perspective. Now, that's what they call misyar, which is basically she knows that she's not going to be able to find a man to be an only wife with, and she's willing to be a second wife. Is that acceptable in Islam? That, you know what, they make that arrangement. Of course, as long as the nikah is done properly with the shuhud and aqid and mahar and wali and all that kind of stuff, it's a legal marriage, Islamic marriage. At least we'll say the Islamic marriage, I would say. But it's up to them in terms of the financial arrangement. Naam. Okay, there are a lot of kids in the Jama, so these questions are very sensitive now. Like, how do you convince your spouse to be intimate with you when you know they're shy and they kind of like they don't really initiate? Well, be smart, Jama. What can I say? Be smart. Be close to each other, and find the environment and the ambience, and create the opportunity, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu bless you. How is shirk was mentioned as a category of zulm, wrongdoing in between you? Well, Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he says, look, the shirk, the zulm is two types, right? So zulm is against you, wronging yourself. That's what it means. So basically, like when you wrong between you and somebody else, committing shirk, first and foremost, it's against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's actually is the greatest zulm. But to whom? Allah is not hurt by your shirk. Who's going to get hurt? Yourself. So that's zulm, wronging your own self. That's why it's mentioned in that category. When we say associating anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does it mean loving anyone more than you love Allah azza wa jal? Your children, your parents, your spouse. You're talking about two different categories of love. So the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one thing. The love, the natural love for humans is okay. As long as you keep your love for humans within human yani love. What does that mean? So some people, they love their spouse to the extent that whatever they ask them, they're willing to do it, even if it's haram. Now that's worship right now. If your wife or your husband tells you to drink with them, because if you love me, let's go to the bar together. And you say just like, you know what, yeah, I love you, I'll do. Now that's not worship. It's no longer just loving them right now. But if you love them so much so, that love does not interfere with your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waking up for fajr, making your ibadah, your ta'ah, and so on, then that's fine. So it should be okay, inshallah ta'ala. However, the Prophet says, be careful. He says, أَحْبِبْ حَبِيبَكَ هَوْنًا مَا عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ بَغِيضَكَ يَوْمًا مَا. Be careful when you love somebody. Love them moderately. Perhaps one day you will see them to be the most detestful person to you. Keep it moderate. And when you dislike somebody, he says also, هَوْنًا مَا عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمًا مَا. You might dislike them today. Later on, subhanAllah, things change and they become most beloved to you. So don't cut all ties with the people. That's what it means. So after intimacy, a brief wait period and ghusl is made, I find there is still clear discharge from the male private. Is that being noted as happened after praying and times? What is the ruling on this? If it's, as you say here, clear discharge, then it only requires making wudu. That's it. In order to make required wudu, basically when you need to make salah, you need just to wash the private part and make wudu, and you should be fine, inshallah ta'ala. But if what is what you see is still remaining from the actual semen, then that's a different story. And it depends. Some ulama, they say actually you don't have to take another ghusl because it's not come out gushing like it is from shahwa, from desire. It just kind of like coming out just like the madi, so you just wash it and make wudu and you'll be fine, inshallah ta'ala too. Sleeping in a state of major impurity. I thought it was dislike to do so, and also dislike to nurse a baby in that state. The answer to this is actually, I don't know where you get that from, but if you have an evidence and proof of it, please show it to us. What we know is that no, it's not disliked at all. I mean, it's recommended that you make wudu before you go to sleep, not take a shower. The Prophet ﷺ, one time he came to Salat al-Fajr, and when everybody was lining up, he was about to start. Then he said to the people, wait here for me. He went back home, and then he came back after some time, and his head and his hair was all dripping with water. What does that mean? He did the ghusl. So what does that mean? He forgot that he had actually janaba. Now the janaba of the Prophet ﷺ doesn't happen from a wet dream, for sure, because it's protected from that, because it's from the shaitan. So it has to be from actual intimacy, which was maybe earlier during the night, that he forgot it when he woke up for it for Fajr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he slept without having ghusl done. Nah. And as for nursing the baby in that state, it doesn't matter. Because again, al-mu'min la yanjus. You're tahir, there's nothing wrong with that. Tahir in terms of the physical tahara, not the hukmi, taharatun hukmiya. If you're holding your wife's hand or arm, and as you are talking with each other, and she kind of like, she pulls away rapidly, and then that hurts her. Will you be answerable for that if she gets hurt? Well, I don't know, what does that mean exactly? What kind of pull are we talking about over here? Was that during a fight, or are you just gonna being too romantic, but she just kind of like accidentally, I don't know, what does that mean? However, if it was deliberate, obviously, then you owe her that apology, or at least owe to reconcile about this matter. But if it was accidental, subhanAllah, tajawaz Allah an ummat al-khata. It's a mistake. May Allah subhanahu forgive us all. Can you stop your husband from marrying a second wife? Of course you can. But is he going to comply? Allahu a'lam. And I'm not saying that this actually, it's for men just to be reckless with this matter, subhanAllah. You have to also make sure that you do everything right in the right way. And it's not for everybody. Like I said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, made it very clear. وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تَعْدِلُ بَيْنِ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. You can't be completely always fair. So be careful. If you're unable to be fair, then don't risk yourself with that. وَاللَّهُ تَعْلَمُ. جزاكم الله خير. سبحانك الله وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.